This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've heard of blue-collar jobs and white-collar jobs, but have you heard of new-collar jobs? Good morning there. You're listening to Resource Center on Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. So I was reading an article on CNN a couple of weeks ago about how many small and large companies in the United States are really concerned about the skills gap in the States. You know, the mismatch between the skills the current workforce has to offer and the skills employers actually need today. In fact, more than 50% of Business Roundtable CEOs apparently think that this skill gap is already affecting their companies and industry as a whole. This is why IBM CEO Ginni Rometty believes we need to move past the traditional belief that employees need a degree to perform best in the workplace. He's been a strong proponent of something called new-collar jobs that require vocational training but not a four-year degree. Are new-collar jobs the way of the future? Well, to convince us that it could possibly be, I have in the studio with me IBM Global Corporate Citizenship Executive David Graeber. Hey, David.
Hi, Audrey. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's just kick things off with the obvious question. What does this term, new collar, mean? And why new collar? Why not another color? And what are the kind of jobs that we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as you said, you know, new collar are not white collar jobs or blue collar jobs, which we're all familiar with. But what we're trying to articulate with new collar jobs is that as the economy is changing and as technology is becoming something that's not just for tech firms, but is part of every firm
and every industry,
part of the economy, that there's a whole suite of jobs in this very fast-growing sector that needs a certain set of skills. Maybe it doesn't need a four-year degree, needs more than high school, but it can provide a pathway to a good, solid middle-class job and career. And the sorts of things that we're talking about are things like a cybersecurity expert, a digital designer, a user experience designer, data technicians, the sorts of things that our new economy, which is built on data, which is increasingly being driven by artificial intelligence, robotics. You talk a lot about the fourth industrial revolution here in Malaysia. That's where new collar skills are emerging, and that's where companies like IBM are working hard to not just create opportunities but actually fill them and deal with those skill gaps that you talked about.
So basically, we're trying to kind of change the narrative, right? I mean, trying to move beyond the whole you need a degree first to get a good job and try to encourage more career and technical education to kind of help close the supposed skills gap.
That's right. What we're trying to focus on is what skills do people learn? What skills do people have? Not necessarily what piece of paper do they hold? So just to give you an example, the sorts of skills that we see big gaps in are some of the technical skills, but especially workplace skills like problem solving, teamwork, communication. As knowledge moves so much faster and economies change so quickly now, they're the sorts of practical workplace skills that students really need to have to get a great early start on a good career.
It's not really technical skills we're talking about to cater to specific industries, but that too, right?
Well, yeah, people need both. So just to give you an example, when I went to school in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have the internet in high school.
Same here.
Right? Can you imagine – and I'm not even halfway through my career yet, and now obviously the internet is ubiquitous. And so if all I could do was use a calculator, I'd be in real trouble.
True.
Part of new collar is not just students but all of us keeping our skills current and lifelong learning, number one. And then secondly, the skills that have been relevant through my whole career and will continue to be relevant are things like problem solving, communication, the sorts of interpersonal skills that we need in our workplace to drive innovation and to drive enterprise.
And I can imagine how this would also help overcome a significant roadblock to lower unemployment rates. Just think about how, you know, if you don't really need tertiary education but more skills-based knowledge, something that's more attainable, easily attainable, then, you know, that would help with the unemployment rates as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think our economies are going to need a mix of skills. So at IBM, for example, we are the largest private sector employer of mathematicians in the globe. You know, people with PhDs, people with advanced maths degrees. That's not going to change. But I think as a society, sometimes as companies, we have neglected a different space, which we're labeling new collar, which maybe doesn't need that level of formal qualification, but can provide a pathway to a good career. They're some of the fastest growing jobs. And what we see in the United States at the moment is there's something like 500,000 jobs in technology that are vacant, even as there are many millions of people who are unemployed. But we haven't been able to make that match between people who don't have a job but also maybe are lacking the skills that are needed for the jobs that are there. And right. we want to make sure that as the economy continues to evolve, everybody has a chance to participate in it and to move forward together.
Okay. And since your company CEO, Ginni Romati, truly believes in this new collar concept, do you practice hiring new collar candidates at
yes.
IBM?
Yep. So at IBM, in some of our sites, about a third of the staff there are what you'd call new collar. Staff, people that don't have a four-year degree. And we estimate about 15% of our hiring every year in the US is in these new-collar roles.
So how long has this whole new-collar idea been like germinating at IBM?
We've been feeling the skills pressure for quite some time. And although we probably only labeled it in the last year, have been doing a number of things to try to address it for quite some time. So one of the biggest things is a new school model called PTEC that we've developed in partnership with the New York Department of Education and the New York City College, which is now spreading to other cities and states and even other countries. And that sort of puts this idea of new collar into practice. Students go to one place for the last 4 years of their high school and then the first 2 years of an associate's degree, and they graduate with an associate's degree in this case, tech-related skills. Now, we started that about 6 years ago, so we've been kind of walking the walk for some time, and we're just feeling those pressures get stronger and also the opportunity to get greater, and so that's why we've sort of labeled it in the last 12 months to try to highlight the role for policy change, the role for systems change across, you know, the whole country and ultimately across many economies.
So do most of IBM candidates for new collar jobs actually come from the PTEC program?
Many students that go through PTEC end up with jobs or job offers from IBM. And PTEC is now in about – will be at over 80 schools in the United States by the end of the year. So it's growing quite quickly. And one of the tenets of PTEC is that the school partners with industry. In some schools, that's IBM. In other schools, it might be another technology company or an airline or a bank. And the industry partner promises mentorship, internships, workplace learning, but also first in line for jobs. So students are pretty much guaranteed an interview at the end of their schooling if they're successful. And what that does is it keeps them focused. And it answers that question that we all asked in school, why am I learning maths?
Yeah.
It gives you a really concrete answer because there's a possibility of a job at IBM at the end. Now, there's plenty of other reasons to learn maths. But to a 15, 16-year-old who might be questioning, should I be staying in school? Should I be developing my skills? PTEC helps to answer that question for those students.
Okay. As a company that has already recognized what these new collar jobs are, what do you look for in
new dollar jobs, maybe.
What do you look for in new collar job candidates?
Yeah. So obviously it depends on the role. And as I said, those can be anything from, you know, digital design right through to a cybersecurity. Mm. So number one, skills. Now, it might be that the person has gone through a program like PTEC to get those skills. It might be that they've been involved in hackathons. They might have built an app themselves. They might have got different sorts of certifications. And so Number one, we look at skills, and that's what Nucol is about, skills, not necessarily qualifications. And then number two, both the technical skills, but also those workplace success skills that I was talking about, mm-hmm. capacity to innovate, capacity to problem solve, capacity to communicate.
So I'm speaking with David Raper, IBM Global Corporate Citizenship Executive on Nucol Jobs. When we come back, we're going to talk about how automation is going to affect Nucol Jobs and jobs in its entirety in the future. This is Resource Center on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Resource Center on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj. I have in the studio with me IBM Global Corporate Citizenship Executive David Raper, and we've been talking about Nucol jobs. Now, David, I understand you are the person to talk to about this just because of your background. Can you tell us a bit about your background?
My background leading to IBM is pretty diverse, but it's probably given me the skills for my job. So I was born in Australia, and started working there, doing a lot of work with the government there on how do we improve services, how do we make trains work better, how do we have hospitals more functional, and then moved to the United States, and for the last 5 years was working with a not-for-profit dealing with healthcare, and then moved to IBM about 18 months ago, sort of bringing that experience of those sectors and that view to IBM and to help it build those relationships and be relevant to those parts of the community.
And so just before the break, we were talking about the PTEC program. Now, I understand that IBM has this project across the United States, but is it also in Australia?
It is. So PTEC launched in Australia 2 years ago with the leadership of the Australian government and IBM support in bringing our knowledge from how it worked in the United States. And that's been a great partnership. It is now in its second year. We have 7 schools open, and by this time next year, we'll have 14 as the new school year kicks into Australia in February next year. So we're really excited about the sort of global relevance of something like PTEC.
Is there any chance that the PTEC program would be coming closer to Southeast Asia or to Malaysia even?
Well, I hope so. And we're always open to talk with governments about the skills challenges that their country's facing and whether PTEC can be part of the solution. I think what's important about PTEC is that it's not just a school. It's actually a model to redesign an education system. And so that requires leadership and commitment from all parties involved, from government, from schools, and from the partnering companies. And so we're very open to talk with the government in Malaysia or any country across ASEAN or Asia about whether PTEC is a good fit for some of the skills challenges in this country.
Do you know of any other program that is similar to PTEC that's being practiced in the region here?
I think there are a number of programs that partner an industry with a school, often with some mentoring and those sort of things. What I think is unique about PTEC is the depth of that partnership, to the point where the industry partner and the school actually sit down and they look at the curriculum and they look at the skills the industry needs, and they do a very concrete mapping of the curriculum to those skills to identify the gaps. And then they partner on workplace learning and project-based learning to fill in those gaps in a very industry-relevant way so that students can graduate not just with relationships through a mentor, which is important, but skills that really matter to jobs in the local economy.
So we've been talking about PTEC and, well, just programs to help graduates or students fresh out of school to adapt to these new collar jobs. But from what I understand, new collar jobs don't actually have to apply for just freshies entering the workforce, right? I mean, I can imagine how seasoned employees who have left an industry or are looking to venture into a new sector could upskill themselves and enter the workforce again.
Totally. We can all get a new collar. Just to give you one example, we run programs with veterans in the United States, people coming back from often active combat who can have real problems, coming back to their home society and translating the skills that they may have from parts of the armed service into a job. And so we have a program that trains veterans in cybersecurity. And over the course of a month, have been very, very successful in training those people in a very high demand, very concrete set of skills in industry, and finding jobs for them in the field of cybersecurity, which, you know, as we all know from the last couple of weeks in the news, is very important, and it's going to be a growing field in the years ahead. So this isn't just for schools; it's not just for universities. It's a concept, and it's a set of skills, and it's not age limited. It's open to everyone.
So, I mean, it's one thing to try and keep up with the skill set requirements of the working world today. Better yet, prepare yourself for what the future workforce is going to need, right? But more recently, we've also been hearing about how automation is taking over jobs with AI, especially in the mix. How do we keep our jobs then in the age of automation?
So the way we're looking at artificial intelligence, or we call it augmented intelligence, is that its purpose is there to help people do a better job. So its purpose is there to help a professional access the knowledge they need to be able to be more effective in their job. And I think that is going to open up a whole range of opportunities and industries in the future that didn't exist 5 years ago. Importantly though, as this new technology moves through the economy, we need to make sure that the skills and the skills programs are in place so that people are able to seize those opportunities, cope with any disruption, and seize new opportunities and develop themselves to be, have relevant skills in the new economy. This technology is here. It's going to bring big benefits, we believe, to our society and our way of life. We want to make sure that we have the policy frameworks and the skills programs in place so that everybody can move forward together into a new economy.
Oh, everything is just changing. In some of the stories that we discuss on the show, it's always about how AI is going to take over and how we need to prepare ourselves. There's going to be so many job losses and all, but it's just maybe we just need to rethink the way we look at jobs and how, well, augmented intelligence can, well, kind of complement our jobs?
I think we need to always be thinking, how can we prepare ourselves for the future? And that's something that individuals and countries, communities do need to do all the time. As a society, we've been talking about lifelong learning for many, many years as well. And I think the way to move ahead is to seize this technology that offers the potential for, very big increases in productivity, very, very big increases in our quality of life and the outputs that we're able to achieve. But we need to be recognizing that changes can come and stay ahead of that by making sure that our skills are relevant and are continually improving into the future.
Yeah, not just be worrying about if Skynet is looming over us.
Well, I think we're a long way off from the sorts of artificial intelligence that we see in the movies. This is a technology that doesn't have a generalized sense of intelligence of its own. It needs to be trained. Mm-hmm. So, if it's artificial intelligence is going to help doctors to develop treatment plans for cancer, it needs to be trained by good doctors who have that knowledge, so that it can be helping them. You can't just put a machine in a room with a library and say, right, go and learn it. It needs to generate a body of knowledge that it can build off. I don't think we're going to be having HAL taking over the world in the near future or the foreseeable future.
Okay. So, David, just before we go, one last pitch to convince those out there that new collar jobs is the way of the future. It's something that maybe as employers they should be considering as well.
I think the pitch is, just looking at the United States where I'm based, 500,000 jobs that can't be filled, holding back companies from making money at the same time as there are millions of people unemployed, but their skills may not match what's there. But it's not impossible to transition over. I think those numbers of unfilled jobs in a time of unemployment are what we should all be looking at and saying, how can we fix that? Because there are solutions there. There are jobs waiting to be filled. We need to be putting in place the pathways to get people into those so that we can grow together.
Thank you, David. Is there any website or somewhere where our listeners can go to if they are more curious about new collar jobs?
Yeah, of course. So IBM.com is IBM's website. And there, you know, if people search new collar jobs, you can find both stories of real individuals that maybe have come out of school or maybe have transitioned from other jobs into a new collar job with IBM, and their experience of going on that pathway and the sorts of jobs that they're doing.
I've been speaking with David Raper, IBM Global Corporate Citizenship Executive on New Collar Jobs. If you miss any part of this show, don't worry. Go visit bfm.my or download the BFM mobile app. And you can find the podcast right there. Just search for New Collar Jobs. This is Resource Center on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.